The revolution will not be televised. The revolution is here.
Yeah, turn the phone off because we're starting. I don't know why I did that. Hi, welcome to the Knuckle Sandwich Podcast. I am your host, Kenny Stevenson. Before we get started, I do want to apologize. It has been a couple of weeks in between podcasts here, but I'm planning a wedding. So sometimes stuff gets full, like plans and times and calendars. Anyway, but here we are. We're back. My guest this week is Jordan Black.
Hello, I'm Jordan.
That's not how he talks.
Hey, hello, Jordan Black.
Okay, yeah. So Jordan is I like to say my guest resumes, I guess, for the listening audience. Jordan is a former groundling. Mm-hmm. You can see him every Wednesday. You're pretty much every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, pretty much.
Every Wednesday, the Crazy Uncle Joe show at the Groundlings Theater. For my money, the best improv show in Los Angeles.
Yes.
My money is worth a lot.
And your opinion is stellar.
Thank you very much. Let's see. Where you may have seen Jordan in such films as For Your Consideration.
Okay, that's a pretty good movie. Yeah. One film that people may have heard
television
of.
Show Halfway House on Comedy Central.
Here are the shows people have heard of that I've appeared on.
Okay,
Punked.
Yes, that's right.
How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly Susan. Yeah, I went back there. I went all the way back there.
Did you? Were you on the show before the guy killed himself? Or?
No, after. It was after. Yeah.
Good. I go there. I like to keep my humor like.
Well, I mean, I like dark humor.
Oh, we'll talk. We'll tell some jokes about Boner later.
I'm not going there. It's too soon, man.
I'm sorry.
That's a tragedy.
I'm sorry. Oh. It is. I'm sorry.
This show business is not for children. I said it.
Good.
Give me the name of my memoirs.
Show business is not for children. And you're currently in the census. What are the census?
The Christopher Guest directed census spots.
I was going to go there.
I did three of them. And yes, directed by Christopher Guest. He chose me. He had the choice of all the actors on earth he can work with. And he picked me. Because
you were in For Your Consideration.
I wasn't, but I still had to audition for the commercial. So I had to earn it a little.
Did he have a normal commercial call for that?
Yeah, what do you mean as far as like...
Like, there wasn't like... He didn't just like call in people who he wanted. Like, he like a normal... Like,
yeah, it was a big... I mean, I was there with
Ross Lacey casting and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And sit there. And for those who don't know, Ross Lacey's a casting director here in Los Angeles. We have a huge following in Nebraska, so we have to really make sure we specify Hollywood stuff.
Yeah.
So you actually went to like a normal casting and made it...
it was a regular casting
session. When you went to the callback and he was there, were you like, oh, hey, Chris...
I didn't know if I should or not because I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I walk in. My instinct told me, don't be familiar from having worked with him before. And he's very nice, but he doesn't like for people to make a big deal about him. So when I walked in and I went to look over at him, I noticed that he wasn't going out of his way to make eye contact.
Okay.
So I was cool. I was just like, hello, a general hello to the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but when we got on set, it was great. He was like cool and chatty and we had fun. He was cracking jokes. It was really nice.
What is that? Did you know? Because I get occasionally you read for things. I remember I read for this like ESPN, like, it was like so ridiculous. Like it was like an X Games, like it was like a 10 campaign for the winner X Games,
mm-hmm.
and like I saw the spots and they weren't as funny as they were letting us be during the audition.
Mm-hmm.
But like they took us all in a room and they were like, the guy running the camera was like, okay, look, you guys want to book this, all right? Because the director behind this is, I can't say who it is, but you guys trust me, you want to book this. But then I've also read for something recently where they said in the breakdown. Like Jody Hill, director of Observe and Report, and Fist Foot Way, and Eastbound and Down is directing this spot.
Mm-hmm.
Did they say before you got in there, like Christopher?
My agents called me probably 3 weeks before I had an audition to say to ask me for a link to my demo reel. My commercial agents, they need a link to my demo reel because they don't usually use that. Because Christopher Guest is directing these spots, they're going to need, they made a specific point of saying since it's the census, they probably will need some black people in it. You know, I'm serious. So we think since you already had worked with him before, you have a good shot at this. And so then as the weeks went by, I go, oh, I guess they passed on me when they saw my demo.
Mm-hmm.
But then all these weeks later, I found out.
Now, demo reel for those in Nebraska is like a compilation. It's like a greatest hits of some.
It's like it's your resume on video. Exactly. If you're an actor, all TV shows and movies you've done.
I really don't have a big Nebraska audience. I just like.
No, but just in case, you will though.
I will at some point.
You have a nationwide audience.
Thank you.
You know, at least bigger than LA.
Bigger than LA. Okay, so Christopher Guest. We'll get to sports eventually, guys. Mm-hmm. But this is, it's coming. You know, we're just getting
this
there.
Is exciting, too.
Yeah,
because exciting. Show business is a sport. It's competitive.
Hell yeah.
It's bloody.
It is.
It's emotional.
Cut, ruthless.
Ruthless.
People will.
Right, it's worse than boxing.
People will cut you.
They will.
People will cut you. Mm-hmm. So you, but you, whatever, you got in the room and you got it.
Right. And then, can you want me to tell you the story of that?
Rush, please, I'd love to.
So there,
I can tell my Jody Hill story right after that if you'd
so
like.
So I, definitely. So here I am. I'm at the audition. There's so many people, and you have a long wait to get in there because it's a callback. I was straight to callback. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that, Nebraska. We're not going to explain that. But anyway, so there's this black woman. I'm black, so I can say this, audience. You know. So there's this black woman in the waiting room.
Uh-huh.
And I could see her. She's sort of working the like person who's signing everybody in. Mm-hmm. I see her like sort of working it like, oh, I'm going to work this girl to give me a little edge to get this part. Even though the person in the lobby
doesn't have anything to do with anything.
It's like going to...
Although before you continue, I will say it. Mm-hmm. There were two girls who used to be people who worked for Ross Lacey and Liz Paulson. Mm-hmm. And they just were the sign-in people. Mm-hmm. They just started their own casting.
Well, that's it. But I meant for this spot.
You never know
who they're going to be.
But true. Not for this spot.
But for this spot, you're here for this spot, and you're working the wrong person. This person who's not ever in the room where the audition's taking place. Mm-hmm. So clearly not a decision maker. So this black woman clearly was like, I'm like observing. So this broke up the monotony and the boredom because I'm observing this older black woman. It's probably like, you know, 50s, who's like working it. And so this woman says, oh, do you have a headshot? And the black woman goes, no, it's in the card. I need to... The girl goes, nah, don't worry about it. She's like, no, I think I can get it. And then the girl has moved on, over, done with you, goes back to doing what she's doing. And the black woman, like, sits there for about 30 seconds, taps on the shoulder and goes, I'm going to go to the car and get it. And the white girl's just like, I don't care. But this black woman is thinking that she's got, I'm gonna have a rapport with this woman so that when they make the decision, she'll be like, I really like that black lady with the shawl.
She went and got her resume.
And here's the thing. They told us to dress like you work on a movie set. And if anybody who, in Nebraska, when you work on a movie set as a crew, you wear like cargo pants, a flannel shirt.
Because you're gonna work.
This woman was wearing like, you know, a nice, like sort of like mini dress with straps and a shawl. I'm like, you don't look like you work on a set like you're going to like pull some wires.
Well,
or some
I've
cables.
Said on this podcast already, and we will get to sports because now we're almost 8 minutes in. Mm-hmm. But I love when you go to auditions and there's the people who like overdress.
Mm-hmm.
Like I booked this. Now I'm a booker. This is whatever. This is like a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. I booked this. I've not booked the commercial like over a year, but I booked this McDonald's spot and it was supposed to be like, You're like a guy who works in a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this, like, I got the first call, like, same day. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I think it was a night after a Sunday company show. So I was, like, totally hungover. Like, I think for whatever reason, I went out and just got totally drunk on the floor. And I was totally hungover. I get this, like, call to go to this audition. And it says, like, overalls or work boots. And I was like, you're getting jeans and a cowboy shirt because that's what I'm wearing. And I showed up, and I get a call back. And I'm like, well, I guess I got to come in what I wore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're supposed to do to Nebraska. You're supposed to wear what you wore to the first audition.
So they remember.
So I showed up in, like, my, you know, cowboy shirt.
So you're the cowboy shirt
jeans.
Guy. That's what they want to know.
And these guys who I got the part over are showing up in, like, some. I went in with some guy who was wearing a wife beater.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, work pants with like overalls and like a hard hat, and he had gloves.
Right.
And I was just like, what the hell? Why would you ever, like, to me, it's like there's a little part of me that's like, you know what? I'm never going to show up to an audition in something that I don't even feel comfortable walking outside in.
Right.
Then I'm just not going to do it. Because what's the point? Like, I don't need the spot that bad.
I have one where they told everybody to come dressed as a Trekkie. I did not came in jeans and a t-shirt.
Exactly.
I was like, but people were dressed to the nines. I mean, they were just like, and I didn't get it now. So, you know, but I'm just like, I don't want it bad enough to walk out of my door dressed like I'm on Star Trek. Okay. But really, let me just tell you real
quick. Finish the story.
Long story short, too late.
Everyone knows Christopher Guest.
Of course. So it's a Christopher Guest story. So you're willing to sit here for
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
So They finally call me in. They're calling us in two at a time. Now, before they call us in, the guy comes out and he tells us, I will bring you in two at a time. First person's going to say this. Second person's going to say this. He's telling us line for line and the order of what we're going to say. Mm-hmm. And then he says, then we're going to flip it and you're going to both do the other person's lines from before. We'll get it both ways and then we're done. Mm-hmm. He came out like about five times while we were sitting there because it was such a long wait and told us this, right? I finally go in the room and of course, who am I going in with? This crazy black lady with the shawl. And I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. So then we go in. Great, we're gonna do the scene, action. She says a line that has nothing to do with the line. So the line I'm supposed to reply that they told me I'm supposed to say does not go with what she's saying. Because she's supposed to say something to me and I'm supposed to answer it. But what she says and the way she says it, my line, if I get it right, sounds crazy. So then in my mind, I'm thinking, do I just respond in a way that makes sense and then have them think I also don't know what I'm doing? Or do I say the line the way it's written and not make sense and have them think I don't know how to roll with it? I was furious at this lady. Furious. And the lines, by the way, are written on a sign, big poster.
Yeah, they have it right there.
Like, but she didn't care. She didn't care. She was...
It's Christopher Guest. I'm going to say what I wanted.
And so here's my point.
So what did you do?
The first time... I forget what I did the first time we did, because we did it twice. She did the lines wrong both times.
Of course.
And the second time, I figured out a way to just either ignore it or whatever, or move past it and do the scene, at least show my part correctly. Mm-hmm. The first time, I think I sort of fed her line in a way like, you mean like this or whatever, you know what I mean? So that I could then respond, you know, and she didn't catch any of this, by the way.
Of course.
So luckily, they sent her out of the room and then let me audition for another role as well, which I ended up booking on my own and just improvised that by myself, and I ended up booking that part. But here's my point about this woman.
Get to the point. Please.
She did all of her hard work in the wrong place. She worked so hard in the lobby working this woman who had no power over whether she was going to get the job. Then when she got in the room with the decision makers, she didn't even get the lines right. It's like, no, your energy is in the wrong place.
Exactly.
You know, focus on your lines.
I could go on and on about
of course, so.
Stupid people.
Anyway, sports.
Let's start here. Okay, mm-hmm. So you are, first of all, your name actually isn't Jordan Black.
Right, I'm not going to say what my real name is, but I changed my name to Jordan Black. I don't mind saying what my real name is, but it's on the... podcast. I don't need to say.
No, it's fine. People can go on the internet and type.
Yeah, it's on there. It's actually you. If you can Google me, and you'll.
But you actually changed your name to Jordan because you grew up in Illinois, aka you were a very large Chicago Bulls fan.
I was a fan in the '90s.
They're decent now.
They're decent. They are. I don't. Yeah, they are. They're very decent. My thing is, I do love the Bulls. I cannot watch them lose. The way, you know, losing the way like the Clippers, like, yeah. I can't just watch every game knowing you're going to lose. It kills me. So I am a fair weather fan. But I also love the Lakers, and it's my adopted city. And I can't watch them just, if they're, when you're a contender, my teams I love when they're contenders, I can watch them win and lose.
You're a bandwagon fan.
I guess but I'm not, you know, I see the Clippers fans who go to every game, they have season tickets and all that. I'm like, why? I can't. Why would I put myself? There's no payoff
to that.
It's
so funny to me, like, because people in LA, like, it's like these people, they move to LA and they're like, you know, whatever, I'm from New York or I'm from Boston. And I like the Celtics and I love, but you know what, they're never in town. And I don't ever want to go, I don't want to give the Lakers any money, but I love basketball. Mm-hmm. So I'll become a Clippers fan.
Right.
I know so many people like that.
That's crazy.
And it's like, and they're like paying money to sit courtside. I just saw some celebrity who was sitting courtside at a Clipper game. I was like, really? I'm like, you know you're a celebrity. You know you can get courtside at a Laker game. Like, do you just hate the Lakers that much? Like, why wouldn't you want to go see like a better, but like, no, I'm a good,
actually, if you enjoy basketball, don't you like to see it played well and consistent?
But I guess I can't really like fault those people too much because when I lived in New York, I didn't want to be a Knicks fan. I didn't want to. I actually didn't want to be a fan of anything New York. I hated the Yankees.
Now, but New York listeners,
loves the people. Let me get close to the mic. I love New York. I do love New York actually, but of course. I didn't want to be a Knicks fan. I was a Laker fan, and to be a Knicks fan would be crazy. Mm-hmm. So I became a Net fan. But at that time, was when I was living there, good. It was the year that they went to the finals against the Lakers. So it wasn't like I was like...
Which was the worst, most embarrassing finals in the history
of the Lakers. I went. It was awesome. I had tickets because I actually worked for the Nets at the time. Mm-hmm. So I had tickets. So I actually like sat in the stands and watched the Lakers.
I saw two games. Yeah. Or what? Was it two? Did you get to see two?
I actually went to the second... I went to the game four of the 2002 NBA Finals with Chris Judd, who was... Jennifer Lopez's ex-husband.
Yeah.
And this is actually a great story. When we went to the game, they had only been news had like just broke that they were getting to, that they were separated. Like it was like only like a week or two old. Mm-hmm. But like at the time, I was working for the Nets, and my ex-girlfriend, not my soon-to-be fiance, my ex-girlfriend. We're still friends. Mm-hmm.
The bitch.
Whatever.
we're not gonna dredge all that up.
Yeah. I'm just looking at my levels. I'm a little bit quiet, so I'm going to turn this a little bit closer to me. Because it's my show. You should be able to hear me. But let me make it balance it out. So as a Nets employee, I could get free tickets to the game. Not free tickets, but like face value. So I got four. You didn't get four. So I got four tickets to the NBA Finals. And I had four seats. And I was going to give them to my roommate. And my roommate couldn't go. Mm-hmm. So then my girlfriend at the time, I hate saying ex-girlfriend, my girlfriend at the time was like, hey, I have a friend coming into town. Let's see if he wants to go. He was from L.A. It's like, all right. He was a dancer. Straight. He was not gay. I'm sorry if I offended gay people with that comment. But
You did.
Jordan is married to a woman. So we're like, okay, yeah, Tyson will go. Great. So then he calls up and he's like, Tyson wants to bring a friend. I'm like, cool, who is he? She's like, Chris Judd. I'm like, why does that name sound familiar? And my girlfriend was like, oh, he's married to Jennifer Lopez. And at the time, and I still am a big Jennifer Lopez fan, but not for like who she is, just I find her attractive. Mm-hmm. At the time, like Jennifer Lopez.
Is there more to her than that?
Not much.
Oh.
At the time, Jennifer Lopez was like number one on my list. It was like, you know, how you always had that like list with your girlfriend, like the one, my one get out of jail free card. It was always Jennifer Lopez, like hands down. So then it was like, oh yeah, okay, so yeah, we'll go with Chris Judd. Then like so that's all set up. And like 2 weeks later, like news breaks that they're like getting a divorce and stuff. And so we're like, does he still want to go? And I'm like, please let him know that we're not sitting like in great seats. These are like in the upper level. And he was like, well, he kind of wants to keep a low profile. So yeah, sure. So like we meet like Chris Judd at a bar, like in the city. And he like got us like an Escalade to take us like from the city over into East Rutherford, New Jersey.
You mean Jennifer Lopez got you an Escalade?
I'm sure. And he was like super cool. Like just bought us all beers that night. He was super cool. And like,
Jennifer Lopez bought you all beers.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean.
Just kidding.
And he was loving it. He wore some shirt that said LA, and like Snoop Dogg was there, and he like went over to Snoop Dogg and said hi. And it, like Snoop Dogg was wearing like a Lakers jersey that was bedazzled.
Of course.
Or like rhinestone, and it was like it said 69 and then dog on the back.
69, grow up, Snoop.
He's gotta maintain his dog persona. But it's like the reason why I like telling the story is like the only real point like where it was like clear that this guy, like, because in my mind, the only thing I'm thinking is like, dude, you have had sex with Jennifer Lopez. You're like millions of men would love to be in your position. And then about midway through the game, he's looking at the little like book they give you with like the rosters and stuff. He's looking at it. This is when Jason Kidd was with the
Yeah, for sure. He was the one who got them to the finals.
Yeah. And so he's reading, he goes like, oh, hey, Jason Kidd has the same birthday as Jennifer. And it was like so awkwardly quiet.
Because you guys didn't know what to say.
Because we're like, I don't know what to say right now because you guys are getting a divorce.
Right.
And you clearly, like, based on the fact that you guys are getting a divorce after like less than a year, like you were probably way more in love with her than she was ever in love with you. And I just was like, oh, man. Like, afterwards. Like,
he probably didn't even mean to say it out loud. It was just like.
Oh, he totally did.
Oh, okay.
He totally said it out loud. And I don't know if I don't know if he meant to say it, but it was like, it came out and it was just like, you just like hear the air. This is like, we're like a 20,000 seat arena and you just hear the air.
Right.
Just going out. It's like, I was like, oh, man. Then the Lakers won. So
and she left him for, you know, what you
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. And if you get left for Ben Affleck and you're Hispanic, and a Hispanic girl leaves you for Ben Affleck, not Matt Damon. Matt Damon has a little bit of street cred. He just, it's something, I mean, of the two, they're both really white and nerdy, but Ben Affleck is like as white and nerdy as you can get.
Ben Affleck, I mean, Matt Damon, you could at least be like, okay, you know, he's a little slick, you know. He's
right, a little bit,
he's definitely like what you would call like suave. Ben Affleck is just a dork. I mean, he makes me look cool, and I'm the dorkiest guy alive.
That's true, that's
Anywho, so I want to get back to, so when you make the decision to change your name, was it right away to just be like Michael Jordan? How did you settle on Jordan?
Okay, I'll tell you the whole story.
Keep it sports related, though.
We're talking about Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Here's the story. I was a big Michael Jordan fan. Now, let's say I was probably around...
Keep it sports related. Right.
Like, this is like probably late 80s, early 90s, before the late... Bulls were even winning championships, right? This idea came to me. I was like, oh, Air Jordan, I love Air Jordan. I was like, oh, man, such cool. I was like, oh, you know what? When I have a son, now mind you, I'm like 19, 20, 21, you know, real stupid. And even for the 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds out there, trust me, you are stupid. Now, you will know this when you're 39.
Thinking about naming their kids.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't name your kids after anybody famous. Don't do it. Okay, because it's like, get a dog, name your dog that. Okay, any ideas like Apple, you know, sorry, Gwyneth, but don't name your cat.
She listens religiously, I'm sure. so you just offended her.
But seriously, don't name your kids. If you're 16, ask your grandparents to name your kid, because you're going to say name him something stupid. So I say, when I have a son, I'm going to name him Air Jordan Black.
Stop it.
Yeah, because Air, you know, that's a cool name. You know? It's like, it's, you know, it's a sun sign, you know what I mean? You know, it's like, you know, the sun signs of air. And I was like, oh, cool. But we'll call him Jordan, but it'll be Air Jordan Black.
Oh my God. Okay.
Well, a girl I went to high school with who literally named her son Michael Jordan also. His last name was already Jordan. She gave him first name Michael. So. But this was a high school girl, because that's stupid. Because where is he now? Yeah. Your name Michael Jordan? Can you dunk? No.
No, that kid is, like, you've literally ruined your kid.
Right. So what happened was, I was going to change my name to, I always knew I was going to change my name legally for show business to Cass, K-A-S.
My Cass?
I don't know. It came to me. I don't know. It's stupid. So
Cass?
No, I had nothing to do with her. Shut up. Jerk. So, but anyway, so I had known that for years. I'm Cass Black. That's what it was going to be. I was going to be Cass Black. So then I had a
Black isn't your original last name.
No,
But you knew you wanted to do...
I knew I wanted black because that was my favorite color. Not because I am black, but because of the whole goth thing that was going on in the 80s. It still goes on now. Yeah. I was into that. I like
to wear
black.
There's plenty of troubled teens who listen to The Cure.
Right, exactly. So I was going to be Cass Black. I knew this for years. I went to a friend of mine who's a photographer. He's going to do my new headshots. And I said, now when you print them up, I want you to put Cass Black on. He's like, oh, man, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Maybe you shouldn't call yourself Cass Black, because it might sound to casting people like you're saying cast black, like cast a black person. And I was...
That's actually a pretty good point.
It was a good point. No one else had ever said this to me. I never thought of it. And I was like, well, I don't want to lose out on any opportunity, even remotely, for somebody putting something together like that. So I was like, oh, now I got... It took me years to figure out what name I wanted. Mm-hmm. I had this name for a couple of years. And I'm like, I got to start from scratch. I don't know. And I was like, oh, wait, Jordan Black. Because that was what I was going to name my son that. That's still a good sounding name. So it was Jordan Black. But it's still Jordan after Michael Jordan. After my unborn son that still has never been born. So that... That's how I ended up being Jordan.
But as long as you didn't name yourself Air Jordan.
No, I knew enough to not name myself Air Jordan Black. Okay. I did. I was smart enough to do that.
So I always love asking people in podcasts. I always like ask people, did you play any sports? Like in high school when you were growing up? Or
not in high school. I played in, like, when I was in the summer before fifth grade, I played Little League. Mm-hmm. And then probably the summers, I played softball. This was obviously, I was really small, like, probably the summers between like second and third grade, I played softball. I was in a softball league for 2 years, a little league for 1 year. And then after that, I realized I'm not remotely interested in playing sports. I wasn't interested in sports at all growing up. I didn't get interested in sports until I was out of high school and I started following the Bulls.
I find that too. Like, even though I played sports in high school, like, I don't remember myself, like, sitting down and watching. I remember watching Laker games. I remember following them. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember, like, following them to the fervor that I do now. Like, I don't know if it's just when you get older, you just, like, have a better appreciation for it. I don't know. Like, I don't know. For me personally, I just was so dumb. Like, I just thought, like, when I was in high school, like, oh, I'll play basketball in college. Like, mm-hmm. what was that? That was so stupid. I don't know why we mm-hmm. thought that. There was no way I was going to play basketball in college. unless I was like, you know what? I had this decision that I could go to a smaller Division I school mm-hmm. and walk on. Like, that was my thing. Like, if I wanted to really play, I probably could have gone to like a Division III school mm-hmm. and just play. Because that's right about where my talent was at. For me mm-hmm. to walk onto a Division I program was kind of ridiculous. But I was stupid. You just don't know any better as
right.
a kid.
Right. You did. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I realized that I was horribly uncoordinated. I'm still uncoordinated to this day, just not nearly as bad as I was growing up. Mm-hmm. Just terribly uncoordinated, not at all good in sports. But then, like, when I was in Little League, I didn't see how bad I was. Because every time I got up to bat, I would see the pitcher and I'd be like, I'm knocking it out of the park. And if the ball is coming at me and I'd swing, I would know that I'm going to connect and it's going out of the park. And, of course, I'd strike out. You know, and I did. I get hits here and there. You know, I feel like I got enough hits where I felt good about my ability to hit the ball.
More to the point like where you were just like, this is going to happen.
Right, I'm humiliating myself. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, it was like, I'm as good a baseball player as you're going to find. With a bat. Now, I knew I wasn't good in the outfield. And I was like, you know, out in center field way, out somewhere, praying the ball.
I was always out in right. You know, you always knew, like, I figured out, like, about, like, fourth grade. Like, I always knew you were, like, the bad player. Because mm-hmm. I was not good at baseball. Mm-hmm. Baseball did not connect with me, like, how to play it until I was, like, in sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And at that point, like, I was already, like, I didn't really care. Mm-hmm. But, like, at sixth grade, I finally was watching a pitcher pitch mm-hmm. and was like, why does that not seem that fast as it used to? Oh, like everything just made sense. And right. I was like, good. I got good. But at that point, I just didn't really care.
It was like the Matrix when he sees all the
essentially,
numbers.
Well, they always say, like, you know, when sports, like when stuff starts slowing down, mm-hmm. which I think that applies to anything. It applies mm-hmm. to acting, actually, when you first start doing, especially like when you're doing like a show at the Groundlings, mm-hmm. like Sunday Company, when you first start doing it, everything's moving so fast and you can't really. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, once you kind of get the rhythm of things, things slow down.
Yeah,
and you
of
get
course.
That same thing applies to sports. But I always knew, I learned very early on that I knew you were like, you were the bad player mm-hmm. if you were in right field. Mm-hmm. Because like most people are right-handed. Mm-hmm. And if you're swinging the bat too late, which is what a lot of kids do, mm-hmm. you foul off into left field. Mm-hmm. And only left-handed batters are going to foul off into right field. And you're going to be a good hitter mm-hmm. is actually going to be able to get off the ball quick enough, get off the bat quick enough to actually hit the ball into right field. It just mm-hmm. doesn't happen. So
I didn't know any of this science.
Because I was out in right field all the mm-hmm. time. So you put your crappiest player out there because it's just the ball is
never coming.
It's never going to go there. So mm-hmm. you never have to worry. You can put like, because you have to, whatever, you have to play a kid like a certain mm-hmm. amount of innings, you know, because they pay money. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I want to ask you this question. And mm-hmm. I forgive me if I'm overstepping some bounds.
Oh, I'll let you know.
But you grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood, correct?
Well, as the years went by, it started to, it went from, we were the only black family when we moved into our house. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, another black family, I remember another, the Hodges, they moved down the street and we were so excited. I'm not
sure,
kidding you.
I'm
we were
sure.
so excited. And then, but it was white flight at that point, you know.
Oh, yeah, everyone
like,
leaves.
They're just like, they got out of there. They got out of there. And then by the time I graduated high school, it was an all black neighborhood.
Really?
Uh-huh.
This defeats my question, then.
Okay. But it was.
I was going to ask if, like, do people just expect you to be good at sports?
Well, not me. I grew up, my high school itself was 50-50. It was black and white, 50-50, pretty much. And so there was a lot of great athletes, black and white, mm-hmm. you know. So because it was 50-50, there wasn't a lot of that racial divide in the sports because you had great white football players.
White people can be so mean sometimes. What's that? White people can be so mean about that kind of stuff. Like,
well, here's the good thing.
Why aren't you good? I'm going to take the black guy to be on my team.
Right. Well, here's the good thing. The good thing about growing up, the way that I did with, you know, a real nice, even mix of black and white is it took all the mystery away from race for us who grew up there. Like,
that's good.
There was no, you know, a lot of kids today, particularly in the big cities, you know, they either go to all white school or an all black school. Mm-hmm. So then if you live in that world and your neighborhood is all black and your school's all black, then when you get out into the real world, you're uncomfortable, like you trying to go in to get a job in an all white office, you know. And it's just something you have to overcome to a degree. And the same thing with white people. Mm-hmm. If you grew up in an all-white world, and then all of a sudden, you know.
Which I did, basically.
Right. And then you got to deal with a black person. It's just like, and all you know is the stereotypes and the things you see on TV. And this is both ways. I'm talking black and white. then it makes it harder. But because of our town, the way it was the time I was growing up, there was no mystery to white people for me. There was no mystery to black people for my white classmates. Now, there was racism and there was a racial divide. You know, I mean, you go to the cafeteria in my high school when I was coming up, the white kids were sitting together and the black kids were sitting together. But still there was no like, well, white people are like this and black people are like, because we could observe each other. We saw how.
You couldn't just get around like just not. I, for some reason in my mind, thought you went to like a predominantly white school, and like I had visions of you just like being picked for teams and just being.
No, there were enough black kids.
People looking at you funny, going like, "Why can't you shoot the ball that well?"
There were enough black kids in my high school for them to know, "Oh, he's not the black guy you want on your team." No, don't kid him. There were like 80,000 other black guys you could pick before you got to me. So no, I was never picked for anything. And gladly, I had no pride about sports. I mean, none. I could take it.
Neither did I. I mean, I have like the flip side. I worked a lot of basketball camps, and like, you know, I worked Byron Scott basketball camp for like 3 straight summers.
You know? Oh, there's that name you dropped just right there.
I did. I know Byron Scott personally. Byron Scott, multiple NBA
champions. The Lakers. Lakers. Showtime.
I know his wife, his kids. Anyway, So I worked this camp, and after the camps, like, people play, and, you know, they would play pickup games, because it was all, like, guys who were in college who Byron would have worked the camps. And so there'd be, like, good games afterwards, and I knew, like, right off the bat that I was going to be the last guy I picked, because I was the white guy. I was, like, the white guy playing, like, with an, you know, and I just, I mean, and I would get, it was so bad. I don't want to say bad, but it was so obvious to me that, like, I knew that, like, people were not expecting me to be good at all when they had me guard a girl. They were just like, all right, Stevenson, you got Denise. I was like, really? That's what we're going. And it was a white girl. It was like the white girl. Like, the two white people had to guard each other.
Of course.
Like, I can't.
As a matter of fact, you guys can just stay at that end and guard each other the whole game if you want. You know, you just step right out of bounds and guard each other.
My all-time favorite moment from that was there was a girl there who was playing at a University of Iowa. I mean, she was good. She was a Division I women's basketball player. But she's one of these ones who, like, she was clearly a lesbian and just was, like, just thought she was a dude and just thought she was, like, a thug, you know? And she hit, like, on a fast break, like, hit some layup, like... Mm-hmm. I guess you could say, like, if she, like, had the skills, she could have dunked on me, but she was a woman, so she didn't, but she, like, laid it up right on me, and she was just, like, in my face, just like, oh, man, white boy, you're getting schooled, like, oh, man, a girl just did that to you, man.
She said that.
Yeah, just a girl just screaming in my face, and I was just like... Holy cow! And I'm not gonna say anything,
right? Because it's a girl.
So it's a girl. I'm like the only white guy playing in a gym. I'm not gonna be like, shut up, bitch. I'm not gonna do that. Like, I'm not gonna do that. But then, like, 3 or 4 plays later, she went up and tried to do it again, and I blocked the shit out of her. Good. And she tried to, like, make some. Like, make it as if, like, oh, a girl, like, you shouldn't do that to a girl. I'm like, you just were, like, all in my face.
That's hilarious.
But, like, laying the ball up, like, a layup. You got all in my face as if you, like,
I love it.
Embarrassed me.
Anyway. That's like me playing sports. Like, I play every blue moon, I play basketball with friends, and I love to trash talk. And the reason I love to trash talk is because I know I'm not good, so I might as well try. And so my thing is, if I actually do something good, I'm going to trash talk you to death. And when I don't, I go, well, I'm not, and someone trash talks me, I go, well, I'm not good. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you did to me. I suck at this.
I wish guys were like that when I played against. I've actually told, I won't tell the full story, but in another podcast, I told a story about some guy I played out, like, in a rec league with who just talked the whole game. Like, just talked and talked and talked and talked and never did anything. He just the whole game was talking, like, oh, that's a travel. Oh, you fouled. Oh, man, you can't do that. Like, all came.
Right.
To the point where I finally had to just, like, I turned to him, like, a whistle was blown. Mm-hmm. I turned to him, looked him right in the face and said, you have not done one single thing this entire game except run your mouth. So unless you're going to actually do something on the court, shut the fuck up and go sit down on the goddamn bench because you're not contributing anything to the game. And he checked himself out and sat down.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Put him in his place. Somebody called him out.
Did.
It was all smoke and mirrors. He thought, if I keep talking,
No one will notice the fact that I can't play basketball at all. But see, you actually admit it.
Oh, please. I have to admit it. It'd be silly for me to... It's like, I can't have fun if people think I'm going to be good. have to let them know I'm not good, but give me the ball. I will pass it. I'm good with passing. You know, like, I'm not, like, I don't have to make every shot. If I get an open look, I'll take the shot because I know that's what I should do.
That's what you should do.
And I might, and if they're,
I used to coach basketball. But here's the thing, Kenny, you say that.
Here's the thing you got to know about me, Kenny.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting to know.
If no one is guarding me, if you don't guard me, you don't put a hand in my face, I'm going to hit 60% of my shots.
Ooh.
If I don't get a hand in my face and I'm in my sweet spot, I got a few sweet spots.
Next time you play, I'll play. Being a former Ophi white guy, I set great screens.
Okay.
That's what you always love. I always take pride, like, when you're like, when you get called like a Kurt Rambis like player, like, oh, Stevenson sets the best screens. That means, like, my offensive game is terrible.
Right.
But I will lay a guy out if I have to.
Yeah, but what you got to do is you have to figure out a way to be so good at screens that you are like the Dennis Rodman of screens. Like, that man made so much money just from rebounding.
I was really good.
You got to turn it into an art form.
I was really good at setting screens, but they made a rule change that the kind of screens that I used to set now.
Mm-hmm.
What I would do is I would go set a pick on somebody. And then I would just turn and open up and then pretend like I was posting that guy up, like taking him down into the block and posting him up. And people would hate when I would do that. That's an illegal screen. You're moving. I'm like, no, I'm just setting a pick and now I'm turning and pivoting and I'm going to post up on you. And people would get pissed. And I guess finally, like, refs started to call it. They call it a moving screen now. But it was like, that was the best. That was, I could go on. Anyway, so let's talk about some current topics 35 minutes in.
It's good. It's been fascinating. It's interesting.
It has been. So we're talking about specific things.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to the Laker talk in a second. Mm-hmm. But I do want to talk about, because I haven't had a chance to really hit on it because we didn't do a podcast, but Tiger Woods' apology. I want to know what your stance, because my stance is as follows. The only person he really needs to apologize to is his wife.
Right.
I understand why he's doing it in theory, because he doesn't want to lose any more sponsors.
Right.
But to me, as the American public, I don't need Tiger Woods to apologize to me for his indiscretions.
Right. And then, not only do I not need him to apologize to me, I don't then need to go on television and tell the world how I don't feel his apology is sincere
I don't know him. All of that stuff. So I'm assuming we're on the same page.
Yeah, for sure. Well, here's my thing. First of all, here's two thoughts. One, of course, it's his person. If a man cheats on his wife, he only owes one person an apology.
Yeah.
So that's his wife. He doesn't even owe his kids an apology, in my opinion.
No.
Because he ain't cheating on them. He ain't taking some other kids to the dentist's office. my teeth are falling out, Daddy. And you took, the next door neighbor's kids to the dentist.
Then he owes his,
right.
But his kids
apology. Now, he owes his wife apology only. I understand why he's doing it, because he's got to rebuild his image because he wants to make a lot of more money.
Of course.
Here's my thing, though, to Tiger. $1 billion ain't enough money. Come on, if I got $1 billion and I cheated on my wife and the media said, you owe an apology, you need it, and my sponsors dropped me, I would say, fuck you, too bad, you already gave me $1 billion.
I know.
That's why I'm cheating, because you already gave me $1 billion.
You don't understand, like, yeah, you're right. Like, he's already on this pedestal, like, look, I cheated because I could do anything that I want. Like, nobody's ever, I tell this, I don't know if I told on this podcast, I had this great Tiger Woods story. I may have told it before. If you've heard it already, I'm sorry. But, this is where Tiger Woods is coming from. I had a friend who went to Stanford and was a bouncer at a bar. And Tiger Woods tried to get into the bar when he was 20 years old. Like, just showed him his ID, showing that he is not of age. And he was just like, he had like two girls with him and stuff. And he's just like, you're underage, sir. I can't let you in this bar. And he says, well, I'm Tiger Woods.
I love it.
And then his response was, I don't give a fuck if you're Tony the Tiger. You're not of age. I can't let you in this bar.
That's great.
But that's the mindset that he's coming from. Nobody ever told him he couldn't do something. And basically, the thing I think about Tiger Woods. What was your second point?
I think I was saying that he already made enough money. The whole point is you want to make enough money where you can say to anybody, "Fuck you." Right?
Yes.
That's what we all want.
Exactly.
You know, you go into work, your boss says you got to stay late. Oh, no, I got $1 billion in the bank. Fuck you. Fire me. I'll buy this place.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. Yes. Once Gatorade says we're going to drop you, he can go, fuck you. I'll buy Gatorade.
I'll buy Gatorade.
Right. You know.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah, go ahead.
But so there's that. Now, here's my other, I can't remember, but you go.
Well, I will say my whole thing with Tiger Woods is kind of like two things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's two predominant things that I hear. And the opinions that I have about it, besides the fact that he,
I don't feel like he owes me an apology.
He most certainly does not.
Which I have had people tell me, like, well, what about when, you know, did you want President Clinton to give you an apology? And I'm like, well, yes, absolutely, because he was getting blowjobs while in the Oval Office in his place of business. If mm-hmm. Tiger Woods was on the golf course cheating on his wife, then yeah, you probably need to apologize to some people.
Right.
But, you know, like,
if you're in a motel room.
Yeah, like, whatever. Like, Bill Clinton, like, during his job was not doing his job right. because he was cheating on his wife. Right. So
off
like,
his hours.
Yes, like, that I do kind of, but, so I don't feel like he owes anyone an apology. And I also don't I feel like people are crazy if they somehow think that, like, Tiger Woods isn't the only one professional athlete who's cheated on his wife, or even the only professional golfer who hasn't cheated on his right. wife. I mean, you're kidding
currently.
Yourself. Yeah, I mean, you're kidding yourself.
These guys are rock stars. Oh. Ernie Els is getting some, y'all.
I mean, think about it. They go to a different town every week. I don't know if you've ever done any sort of, like, traveling from town to town, but I have.
Not rich and famous, but...
For a job I had, I traveled across the country, and it's like... Like, the second you're in a town, you realize why guys do it. Because mm-hmm. it's like, I'm never going to see you again. Right. Ever. Mm-hmm. I could literally just take this person home, and I'm never coming back to Norman, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the golf tour, it's different because they hit the same cities. But it's like, I'm going to come back here next year, mm-hmm. maybe. If it was good with Tiger's case, yeah, okay, it was good. Let's do
right,
it.
Yeah, of course. But still. Because trust me, the 14 women who have come forward aren't the only women. They're the ones who's like, oh, I'm going to call you again.
Oh, absolutely.
But here's my thing with Tiger. If I were a stand-up, this would be my routine.
Do it.
Now, Tiger's a billionaire, right? Because mm-hmm. my thing is this. If I were a billionaire, I'm married. If I had $1 billion, I'd be cheating on my wife, right? Mm-hmm. So, because it would just be too easy. I'm like Tiger. I grew up a nerd. I never got that to sow my wild oats, right? I'm lucky somebody married me and will give me a piece from time to time.
I hear you.
So, I'm got $1 billion. Tiger was the skanky women he was sleeping with. If I got $1 billion, trust me, I'm cheating on my wife with Alicia Keys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Janet Jackson. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Jessica Simpson. I'm going to throw a white girl in there, even though Tiger didn't throw no black girls in his. Mine would mostly be black.
He's only a quarter black.
No. And then here, let me make this point. Since you brought this up, I wasn't going to say nothing.
Say it.
I take with Obama and Tiger Woods, everybody wants to say, well, they're not black. They're not black.
No,
but,
I'm not.
Here's the thing. All black people in America who've been here for generations aren't 100% black anymore.
No, I agree.
But when they said, nigga, get to the back of the bus, it was all of us. You know, the Tiger Woods, the Obamas. Mm-hmm. So now white people can't now claim half of Obama.
Oh, no,
when
no,
they
no,
didn't
no,
want
no,
half,
no.
not you, but I'm saying, but when like they didn't want it in the 50s, if you didn't want us in the 50s and 60s, if you want to claim half Obama, you got to claim the white parts of OJ. That's my thing. You know what I mean? Then y'all get to have OJ. OJ ain't black. He's part white. He got some white in him, obviously, because he's light skinned. So you get OJ, okay? You take Obama, but you take OJ. Whoever gets OJ gets Obama. Whoever gets OJ gets Tiger Woods, right?
Well, my thing with Tiger Woods is that he's more Asian than he is.
No, it doesn't, but that doesn't count. Because y'all never made that distinction before. If he wasn't successful, if Tiger Woods was working at the grocery store and he robbed it, they'd be saying a black guy robbed Rouse.
Absolutely.
You know? So you can't say, oh, he won the Grand Slam. Oh, well, he's Asian, you know. No, he black. We taking him. He's ours. Like, his daddy black. And okay, his mama Asian, whatever. He's black. You know, Halle Berry is black. Okay, no. She get an Oscar, y'all can go, well, she ain't all, well, she's half black. No, she's black.
No, she's black.
She's black. They're all black. We got all of them. We get the successful ones. If y'all make us take Michael Vick, then we get Obama and Tiger Woods and Halle Berry. You gotta negotiate this stuff.
Do you not like Michael Vick?
I don't follow football, so I have no opinion on him personally. I don't care about what he did. I don't think he should have gone to prison for it.
Oh,
what? I'm against people hurting animals. No, right. Of course I'm against people hurting animals. But he ain't the first. Let's not pretend that was a racial case. Because all these people came out outside the courthouse, you know, white people with their signs. Mm-hmm. You know, it was because he was black. Okay, it was, and it's the South. It's Atlanta. You know what I mean? So it was because he's black. But they wanted to bring down a black man. Same thing with Tiger Woods.
He's black, and he's also a predominant black figure.
Right, exactly. Like, and they love to bring down predominant black figures.
I mean, I think that people want to bring down anybody predominant. Like,
they do to a degree.
If Michael Vick was, say, like Michael Vick, let's say, like whatever, like Tony Romo, mm-hmm. some other big
mm-hmm.
was dogfighting, they would have gone. I mean,
well, here's the thing.
It wouldn't be the same thing as Michael Vick, right. But they would have definitely been ready.
Well, here's my thing. If Tony Romo, it would, but it would be like maybe a 1 week story.
Oh, absolutely.
And he definitely would not have gone to prison. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He would, and he would have still been playing football. Well, like right around the time of the Michael Vick thing, I remember hearing about some well-known white football player who was drunk driving and killed someone and was still playing in the NFL.
There's actually multiple people who've
done right, that. So I'm just like, so wait a minute. But Michael Vick was involved financing the death of some dogs, which in my opinion, if you eat chicken, you don't get to be judgmental about dog fighting. You don't. If you eat beef, you don't get to be judgmental about dog fighting. You got to be consistent, right? So I'm saying you can say it's wrong, which I do. It's wrong. I don't like it. I would not go to a dog fight, and I would not hang out with people who are involved in that because I think it's cruel. I'm not going to be like, and he should be under the jail. He don't need to go to prison for it. He just needs to stop doing it.
The thing I always find crazy about Michael Vick is that, like, people still want
to... don't want him to have a career still.
Yeah, I'm like, well, what? He went to jail. Right. Like, he served his time. Like, should we?
How,
like,
much time? You want to get life for dogs? That makes no sense.
Well, plus, it to me, like, he went to... And it's not even that he went to, like... You know, because some guys, like, go to prison, they go to, like, whatever, minimum security, mm-hmm. and then whatever, mm-hmm. they play tennis, and it's not like a... He went to federal prison. Mm-hmm. He went to Leavenworth. Like, right. I'm sorry, like, he served his time.
He lost all his money.
So to me, it's like, why, you know, what's the one thing he does well is he plays football. So mm-hmm. why should he not be allowed...
Right, you don't feel he paid his debt?
Yeah.
He paid his debt and a whole lot of other folks' debt.
Like, just because he went to prison, does he all of a sudden, like, have to work at, like, a mechanic or something? Like, what? Right. Come on. Like,
he doesn't get to do that either. He shouldn't get a job. The same thing, you know, just
makes
crazy.
No sense to me.
Right.
Anyway, so, wow, that was something I wanted to say about, being a billionaire for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody the other day asked me, like, if you could be one person for a day, who would it be? And I, without hesitation, said Justin Timberlake.
Right.
And someone was like, why? And I was like, he does everything he does well, he does well. Mm-hmm. He can sing, he can act, he's
mm-hmm.
funny,
mm-hmm.
and he has tons of money,
mm-hmm.
and he has had sex with, like, only the hottest women.
Right.
Like, he had sex with Janet Jackson when he was, like, 24, and she was like, oh, she was like 24, and she was like 36 years old.
Right.
With Janet, I'm like,
well, I mean, a 24-year-old would have sex with Janet Jackson now.
So I would. Like, I'm just saying, right. That's awesome. A 24-year-old white kid mm-hmm. is that successful and that attractive that he can get Janet Jackson.
Right.
I mean, that's.
I'm kind of upset about that now. No, I'm kidding. I love Justin Timberlake, and plus he's so good looking. Because if I were gay, I'd be gay for him. That's the guy.
I don't know if I can even.
Oh yeah, you so macho. Come on,
I am. I'm the epitome of masculinity.
The Lakers. We didn't get to the Lakers.
Let's talk a little bit about the Lakers. Okay, so the Lakers. Now, how closely are you following this season?
Not very, but
so let's go there.
Because you know, I gave up TV just so you guys know. But I follow every game online. You know, I read it about them. Where are they on the radio? Because they're not on 570 AM.
They're on 710 ESPN.
Thank you. Now I know.
So now you know. So the Lakers, I don't know what to talk about if we don't talk about.
No, I know stuff on what's going on about. About the current season, so I know.
So how? I mean,
I know they lost the other day.
The big knock on the Lakers so far this season is that they cannot. They're not showing up to play against, like, the big, like, Cleveland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cleveland beat them both times. Mm-hmm. They get up for Boston, but they just mm-hmm. lost to the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Mavericks are playing well, so they've lost to Denver twice.
Well, here's the thing. This last year was this team's first championship,
mm-hmm.
other than Kobe, it's this team. And it's hard to repeat because, you know, if you're Lamar Odom, the difference between Lamar Odom and Kobe Bryant is Kobe Bryant wants to win 50 championships.
No, absolutely.
Lamar Odom is just like, man, I won a championship. Calm down. We won with the world champs. You know, let's turn it up at the playoffs. You know what I mean? And it's hard because you can't turn it on at the playoffs if you're not. But here, and then this is what I was saying, like, when they played Cleveland on Christmas Day, I said to people, Lakers are going to lose, even though they were on a tear at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland wasn't necessarily on a tear at that point. And I said, the Lakers are going to lose, and here's why. The Lakers are playing so well right now that they're going to go in that game with nothing to prove.
No, they don't.
And Cleveland has something to prove because they didn't win the championship last year. This is a big game, and so this is a playoff game for them. And the Lakers is just another game, so they're going to lose, and they did lose.
Mm-hmm.
So, but see, that stuff comes back to bite you in the playoffs when things get... I mean, you can... You know, you never underestimate Kobe Bryant because he can get it done.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's hard to repeat, you know, because it's the other guys.
Do you think that they can?
Of course. Uh-huh. They have the talent to do it. You know, it's desire.
I feel like they're coming out of the West. I don't see any team. Everyone wants to say Denver, but I just don't feel
I don't
like,
see they're going to beat the Lakers.
I don't see it. And mm-hmm. I honestly don't. Everyone is like, Lakers, Cleveland, that's mm-hmm. where it's going. I am not convinced that Cleveland can come out.
If Cleveland loses like they did last year, it would be because they give it away. Cleveland should be in the finals.
I know, but I just don't feel like they... I don't... And I don't know. Maybe people know me. I'm kind of critical of LeBron James. Mm-hmm. I love LeBron James, but I the thing I have a problem with is the fact that he's just been hyper anointed. Is like he's going to be the next like at the end of the
you,
day.
You know,
at the end of the day, he's going to be better than Jordan. And it's well, like, well, he's been in the league for 7 years right. already.
Well,
and
Jordan was in about 7 or 8 years before he started dominating.
No, but he was King James. I don't know when he came second back. He started.
Well, that's marketing. That's Nike.
So yeah, and I feel like that. I feel like he's a little bit too much marketing hype. Because mm-hmm. I think he's getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's getting that kind of killer instinct, mm-hmm. but I don't think he has it. You don't see
none of it means anything.
You don't see Kobe and Jordan doing like all these like pregame high fives stuff. And yeah, it makes LeBron. I like that kind of stuff because I'm mm-hmm. a fun guy. And yeah, like LeBron's fun. He has a good time. Right. But like, you know, you see Kobe before a game, and he's not like, you know, snapping fun pictures like
right now. He's team. Focused.
Kobe is just like boom, and Jordan was just like.
Well, Kobe is on. He's got blinders on. I had him on since he came to the league. He's focused on one thing, and that is annihilating Michael Jordan's record.
Oh, absolutely.
He wants to overtake
that
record.
He wants 7 championships.
He wants to be. He wants people to say Kobe Bryant, then Michael Jordan. That's what he lives for. I don't know if he'll get there, but I think he has the talent
to
do it.
Which to me is like I don't like some people think that's like crazy. But like
he's already got four.
Why would you not want to? Right, as right. somebody like one thing when I watch Kobe Bryant play basketball. Because you know, as a comedian, as somebody who I've been in LA for a while, and I've achieved some, not like monetary success, but
right.
some levels of you know benchmarks
right.
for myself and my career. I watch Kobe Bryant, and I'm like, I would just love to be like have just one thing that it's mm-hmm. like, you know what, I do this one thing better than
anyone
else mm-hmm. in the entire world.
For me, that's sex. But I get what you're saying. just kidding. That's not true. I'm good, though. I mean, I'm above average or at least average. I don't know.
Yeah.
I get the job done and I don't get any complaints.
Right on.
Now, here's the thing. I agree with you. And see, the thing about LeBron is none of the hype means anything until you start winning championships. And see, the problem is I read something about this, so this isn't my theory or story.
Well,
but someone was saying...
It's going to be recorded, though, so it's going to be your theory.
It will now be mine.
Okay.
But... It was. It's not a theory. That's not the right word. But anyway, observation.
Okay.
That because of Michael Jordan's dominance in the 90s and winning 6 championships, now you're not even considered great if you only win 1 championship.
Mm-hmm.
That's no longer good enough. And it used to be. Like, what, Jerry West won 1 championship.
Yep.
And he was considered and still is one of the greatest to ever play the game. He's the logo. But now it's like nothing. Nobody cares. You won only one. You won one?
Yeah. How can well, I mean, it was even like when Kobe won those ones with Shaq, it was mm-hmm. like, well, you know, you had Shaq.
Right.
And, like, I'm really kind of happy that people, when they won the fourth mm-hmm. title, that people weren't like, well, you had Pau Gasol.
Right, you can't.
Like,
at some point.
I think people realized that was a ridiculous argument.
It is a ridiculous
when
argument.
When Shaq went to Miami,
mm-hmm.
and then Dwayne, they saw that, like, when Shaq won that title with the
Dwayne,
Heat,
uh-huh.
they learned right away, which the Lakers were smart. They knew that Shaq was declining, and they knew that they'd,
mm-hmm.
they Shaq basically made them put their chips somewhere, and they were like,
mm-hmm.
all right, fine, we're going to put him with Kobe because...
Mm-hmm.
We know you're on the downside.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaq, the world saw that Dwayne Wade won that title
mm-hmm.
and Shaq helped him get that
yeah,
title.
Yeah, of course.
But like Dwayne Wade wouldn't have won it without Shaq.
True.
But I think people learn that like it's crazy to say that like
get rid of Kobe.
One person, like Michael Jordan, I mean, you know what? If he didn't have Scottie Pippen or Dennis Rodman,
right. it wouldn't
have
happened.
He wouldn't have won those titles.
Right. Wouldn't
I mean,
have mattered.
Period. Like, I mean, he needed to have at least one other person to at least make the defense somewhat honest. Because
well,
if it was just Michael Jordan, it's just like, okay, we're just going to double team
I mean,
all day. There was, you know.
Growing up outside Chicago, and we'd see these games, and you'd hear about, you know, my thing is I didn't even really watch back then, but I would hear the scores. Like, Michael Jordan scored 55 points last night, but the Bulls lost. It was always like, he scored 49 points, but they lost. It's like, man, if he just had one other guy who could score like 10 or 15 points a
yeah.
night on average, who he could count on. I can count on you for 20 points a night. We'd be winning. We would dominate. And he finally got that with Scottie Pippen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so.
I just find that hilarious. Okay,
yeah.
So we're almost like running out of time here.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I have two little games that
mm-hmm.
I play with. We might play the second one. I don't know. It depends if you understand what I'm proposing with the
okay.
game. It takes me like 4 minutes to explain it, but it's worked out pretty well so far. Well, the first game we're going to play is a little game I call, I make everyone of my guests do it. Would you rather? Mm-hmm. So, and you know how that game works?
No, not really. Is that basically, like, old drinking game?
Yeah, it's like, would you rather, like, with the drinking game, it's like, would you rather, like, you know,
would you rather, you know,
do something that, it's like, do something really bad or this something.
Right, yeah, yeah, I know. You'll get it.
You'll get it when I ask the first question. So, basically, so the Lakers are your team. Mm-hmm. So, we'll keep it with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So, I will say, would you rather the Lakers win the NBA title mm-hmm. or... I have to phrase this properly. Or be affiliated with The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And by affiliated, I mean you will be seen as somebody who is responsible for taking Conan O'Brien off the air.
Which one would I rather have?
Yes.
Most certainly, I'd rather the Lakers win the championship.
That's what I thought. So the second question, I don't know if this would even apply to you, but we'll give it. This would be really awkward. But would you rather the Lakers win the title or... play the romantic lead in the Hannah Montana sequel. So you'd be Miley Cyrus's.
Oh, I would take the sequel because I would love for Miley Cyrus to be dating a black guy in a movie. Just to see, you know, the letters that would come in and to Nickelodeon. And just to see what would happen to how her fan base would react to her kissing a black man. I just would love that. Nothing would make me happier.
It's so funny when I first... I got to put my dog down here. Lay down. Hey, my dog made it to the podcast, everyone. She went 55 minutes in. She finally made it. Most people usually, like, will take that. So that's what ends of this last one. So I don't know how you feel about this this next one, but we'll see. Oh, she just wants you to say hi. Just say hi.
Hi.
Would you rather Lakers win the title or you do a buddy comedy? And by buddy, you mean you have to do all the press junkets. You have to go on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. All the junkets. Uh-huh. With Dane Cook.
Oh, I would do the Dane Cook thing because Dane Cook needs somebody like me to hang out with him, to be real with him and help him.
Be real with
him. You know,
him.
He needs somebody like me. He needs to spend a lot of time with me. I wouldn't want to do it if it was just a one-day thing. He ain't going to learn anything. But if I could hang out with him and do a bunch of things with him, a buddy cop movie with him, where I'm gonna sit with him every day and we have to deal with each other. Oh yeah, he needs me. So yeah, that would be worth it because the world deserves a if we have to deal with Dane Cook, then the world deserves to have a Dane Cook who is someone we want to deal with.
I like that.
I mean, I know most of the world loves him, so I'm just mean.
I like that.
Within the industry, we have issues.
So the game I like to go out on is a new one that I've played, and it takes a while to set it up, but it's worked out very well. I'm losing my voice. God, do my vocal warm ups for Christ's sake. So I don't know what it's called yet, like grass is greener or something like that. But the concept behind it is like, you know how like when like diehard fans of certain teams, like when something bad happens, they'll always be like, well, you know,
at least
this, you know, or like, you know, like for the example I always use is like, Pete Carroll's leaving USC. It's like, well, you know what? We're still okay because, you know, they hired Lane Kiffin, who is a, you know, Pete Carroll guy. So I think we're going to be good. You know what I mean? They find the positive. That's the positive spin on everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm going to give you, like, a story. Uh-huh. And then you need to find the positive spin on it as if you were. And I'll tell you from what angle.
Okay.
So did you follow? We haven't mentioned the Winter Olympics at all.
Right.
But did you follow at all what happened in the Winter Olympics?
Only online, I've read.
But you
about
know, you
something.
Are aware that Canada lost to U.S.
Oh yeah,
hockey.
Very much.
All
so.
Right, so you are a Canadian hockey fan.
Okay.
Put a positive spin on the fact that the Canadians lost to the United States.
Well, actually, it's you know what, the good side of it is this, that you know most of those guys are NHL players, and you know so when is the NHL season going on right now?
It
I know
is.
A Canadian would know that, but anyway, so. The NHL players, and those guys, you know, they really need to be focused on their professional careers. And so this way, they don't have that pressure of winning the gold, and they can kind of relax a little bit and just, you know, we're going for the silver, we're going for the bronze. We don't have to work so hard or worry about getting injured in the Olympics, which, you know, has a value. But at
paid.
The end of the day, I have to take care of my long-term goals. So it's
fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so I'm trying to think. I should have prepared some more sports stories. Okay, so the Lakers just lost. Mm-hmm. Well, you're a Laker fan, so just...
Right, so I'll always find a positive.
We're not going to do this way. Let's do... the Washington Wizards. This is a good one. So the Washington Wizards have already lost Gilbert Arenas for the year, for the suspension. They just made a trade. They just traded two of their best players away, one to Cleveland, one to Dallas. And one of the players, the only all-star they got back was from Dallas, who was Josh Howard. And in the second game as a Washington Wizard... He tore his ACL and is out for the season. So you're a Washington Wizards fan. Put something positive on
that. I got that. That's easy. That's real easy to find something positive. Because I'll tell you what their general manager is saying.
Okay.
Oh, you know, we're going to get a high draft pick. We're going to get a really high draft pick, and that's going to turn this franchise around.
That's fantastic. Oh, yeah. My dogs. So you get one more. I should have prepared these. Let me think. Oh, God. The only thing I want to think about is Walter Cohen's son, and that's not appropriate at all.
I don't even know what you just said.
Okay, let's do this. Walter Cohen is that's Boner's dad.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, okay, so this is a good one. Okay, so pitchers and catchers reported this week for baseball. So baseball's about ready to start. You're a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. You're
I actually was as a kid.
God bless you. You can go outside in a second, dog. The minute here, we're going to be done. So you're a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. You're getting ready to start the season knowing that there's no way in hell you guys are going to compete for anything.
Right.
So you're getting ready to start the season. You're a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. How are you feeling going into the season?
Oh, well, you know what? I think the good thing is this is the rebuilding year. And we'll get an opportunity to, like, really see what players we have that we want to hold on to at that, you know, in the future. And then, you know, and then let go of some of the players and the talent that we don't need who aren't able to get us to the next level.
That's what they've been saying for the past 25 years.
There's a rebuilding year?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I know the Bulls have been saying it since 98.
They're doing okay, though.
They are, finally.
Yeah. I mean,
Jordan left in 98.
True.
And they've been garbage since then until recently. I mean, now it's like, oh, maybe they'll make the playoffs this year. I mean, they're a 500 team. That's good. But, you know, that team is cursed because of they fired Michael Jordan. You know, anyone who fires Michael Jordan, it's like when the Red Sox fired got rid of Babe Ruth.
Yeah. It's the curse of Jordan.
Yeah, I think so.
So
they can't get talent to come there. They can't. They'll never know. They'll never be able to trade for real talent because they're like, wait, you fired Michael Jordan. It's like, well,
so wait another 80 years for a championship, Chicago.
I got my six, so I'm good. I don't care.
And you got four more with the Lakers.
Right, so I got four more with the Lakers. 10. I'm a Phil Jackson guy. You know what I'm saying? Please.
My guest this week has been Jordan Black. Jordan, you can see every week at the Groundlings Theater Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock, the Crazy Uncle Joe Show.
That's true, y'all.
He's in the Census commercials. Do you have anything else you need to promote?
Not that I can remember now, so.
I have a show coming up. I have shows now. It's amazing. I have a show Tuesday night at 11 p.m. I will be doing Comedy Death Race, the sketch show at the Upright Citizens Brigade. I'm on a sketch team there.
Oh, very nice.
I made it onto a sketch team there. So my sketch group's going to be doing, it's a house team. We're a house sketch team. We'll be doing a sketch titled Radigan Boner at the...
Nice.
And it's not about Boner.
But the good thing is your timing is impeccable.
It is, right? Please go to the website, I guess. This is what I do at the end here normally, knucklesandwich.org. And thanks for coming on, Jordan.
Can I pitch one last thing that I do remember?
Please.
Oh, at Hulu.com, look up Halfway Home. That was my TV show.
It's a good show. It was a great show on Comedy Central. So, yeah, go to
Hulu. Go look at that.
Look at that. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.